From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's meditation comes from Psalm 84 and verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca makes it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. This teaches us that the comfort obtained by one may often prove serviceable to another, just as wells would be used by the company who came after. We read some book full of consolation, which is like Jonathan's rod dropping with honey. We think our brother has been here before us and digged this well for us as well as for himself. Many a night of weeping, midnight harmonies, eternal day, a crook in the lot, comfort for mourners, has been a well digged by a pilgrim for himself, but has proved quite as useful to others. Specially we notice this in the Psalms, such as that beginning, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Travelers have been delighted to see the footprint of man on a barren shore, and we love to see the waymarks of pilgrims while passing through this vale of tears. The pilgrims dig the well, but strange enough, it fills from the top instead of the bottom. We use the means, but the blessing does not spring from the means. We dig a well, but heaven fills it with rain. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. The means are connected with the end, but they do not of themselves produce it. See here, the rain fills the pools, so that the wells become useful as reservoirs for the water. Labor is not lost, but yet it does not supersede divine help. Grace may well be compared to rain, for its purity, for its refreshing and vivifying influence, for its coming alone from above, and for the sovereignty with which it is given or withheld. May our listeners have showers of blessing, and may the wells they have digged be filled with water. Oh, what are means and ordinances without the smile of heaven? They are as clouds without rain and pools without water. Oh, God of love, open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his exposition of Paul's epistle to the Romans as he brings the next portion of a message called An Inspired Portrait of the Gospel Ministry. In chapter 15, verses 14 through 33, the great apostle provides a rare biographical insight into his life and ministry. In the course of these verses, he demonstrates that his life was guided by the truth of the gospel he preached. There are many aspects of Paul's ministry that are applicable to every true preacher of the gospel. First of all, Paul was called by God to a specific task, that of taking the gospel to the Gentiles. He looked upon his ministry as a sacred undertaking, and in doing so established a precedent for every faithful preacher to follow. The content of Paul's preaching was Christ. As he wrote to the Corinthians, I determined not to know anything among you save Christ and Him crucified. Then it was a successful ministry, not because of the number of churches he established, but because Christ was glorified and sinners were saved. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, An Inspired Portrait of the Gospel.
Some of you think that I get a little morbid. I know that because I've had various comments when I speak on this line. A little morbid when I confess that the older I get, the more solemn does it seem to me to have ever had the temerity to stand up as a preacher of Jesus Christ. the older I get and the nearer I get to the judgment day, the more I tremble at what I have to offer as the fruit of all these years to the Savior. That's not being morbid. That's something that should consume every minister. Follow me carefully here. Changing the metaphor. Writing to the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul wrote this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereto, thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Now follow the logic here very carefully. Paul says, as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation. That's a preaching work. Now he says, others come and they build upon that foundation. That is a preaching work. That's the ministry of the pastor, the preacher. Paul says, if you're building on the foundation that I have laid, if you're building a church, take heed how you build. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, build what? Talking about building churches. I know that preachers like to get off the hook by applying this passage to Christians generally, and I have no doubt it may have an application to everyone's life, but it is primarily written to preachers. To those who are building churches. And it says, if you build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood or hay or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. He goes on to speak of preachers who have built churches and they're saved by the skin of their teeth. Because you see, I'm not saved because how well I preach. I'm not saved because of the number of people I've seen saved. I'm not saved because of the number of people I've received into the church. And consequently, I'm not unsaved because of the people I have failed to win or failed to add to the church. You're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying there are preachers who, when they stand before God, they will have done a lot of building. But what they build is wood and hay and stubble. I think of one of the most famous 20th century preachers in America, who built a huge, huge congregational membership. And it was his estimate that of the baptized members of his church, I think it was 80%, he reckoned, to be unconverted. Paul took this as a sacred ministry. Not being satisfied with anything, but that which could be offered to Christ on the judgment day and be acceptable as a work worthy of his name. This was a sacred ministry. The third thing I notice is that it was what I will call a substantial ministry. Verse 16, he says, I was a minister of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, he speaks of ministering the gospel. Verse 19, he says, I fully preached the gospel. Verse 20, he says, I strived. The word has the idea. I was ambitious, or literally, I took it as an honor to preach the gospel. That was his outlook. In other words, there was a substance to Paul's preaching. Throughout this passage, the word gospel is the term simply the glad tidings. And that emphasizes the content of Paul's message. We read his statement here, I have fully preached the gospel. I think that it is proper to say that the emphasis there is upon the geographical extent of Paul's preaching rather than the theological fidelity of it. But you cannot leave out the latter. Wherever he went, it was the gospel he preached. It was not some watered-down message. It was not something that he had tinkered with in order to have people accept it. It was the gospel in all its pristine purity, in all the fullness of its glorious revelation. The glad tidings that we were singing about tonight. The glad tidings of the birth, the incarnation of the Son of God, the life and the death and the glories of his atonement and the majesty of his resurrection, the power of his blood, the grace of his invitation. This is what Paul was preaching. It was no emasculated message. It was the fullness of the gospel of Christ. Paul had a substantial ministry. And I tell you, any ministry that is going to be a gospel ministry must, does this sound strange? Must major on preaching the gospel. And yet, wherever you go today, you have ministers, messages, seminars, and they're all taken up with this little thing or that little thing, the how to do this and the how to do the other, and the gospel is excluded. I've often told you, sitting through a seminar on the Christian family. My memory fails me at this point as to whether it was 3 or 5 participants we had in that seminar. I listened to them all. This is the Christian family. With the exception of one lady who said, Jesus said, and quoted a verse of Scripture, even the name of the Savior never got a mention. Now that's sad, but do you know what's more alarming? This was a fundamentalist, Bible-believing seminar. And I don't know one other person who sat in the gathering who even noticed it. We've got so used to Christless Christianity that it doesn't alarm us anymore. A substantial ministry. That's what we need. That's what America needs. That's what this church must provide. It was, therefore, verse 17 through the first part of verse 19, a successful ministry. Now that's a term you've got to use with a little care. Success in the ministry. What is success? What is success? I could tell you a funny story about that, but I would be openly, apparently critical of another man's ministry, and that would not be the point of the story, so I have just bitten my tongue and choked it back. How people view success in the ministry. Let me tell you how Paul viewed it, and I will be very succinct here. Verse 17. Paul measured success by how the Lord Jesus Christ worked through him for his own glory. That's success. Second, verse 18, Paul measured success in lives fundamentally, dramatically, and eternally changed by the Holy Ghost. Notice verse 18 very carefully. I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. What was success for Paul's ministry? It was bringing sinners to the obedience of faith. Go back to verse 17. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ. The therefore takes you back to the expression at the end of verse 16, which is the Gentiles being made acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Set apart, not only in position, but in purity. Paul, remember, is speaking about a ministry that had been invading the strongholds of heathenism, where impurity was the order of the day, where the entrance to every temple was a scene of promiscuity and prostitution, and it became a religious ritual. But going into that vicious, vile, and filthy type of society, Paul says, I measure success not in numbers, not in professions, not in the acclaim that's given to my name, not in bloated missionary reports. I measure success in lives dramatically, dynamically, eternally changed by the sanctifying power of God the Holy Ghost. And then he measured success, verse 19, by the demonstrations of power that the Holy Ghost made through mighty signs and wonders. The Greek text says literally through or by the power of signs and wonders. By the power, the very same phrase, of the Spirit of God. Now I understand full well that there were apostolic signs that belonged to Paul and they do not belong to me. The only people ever able to lay their hands on others to communicate the gift of the Holy Ghost were the apostles of Christ. You never read of anybody else being able to communicate the Holy Ghost but the apostles of Christ. So there were signs that were peculiar to Paul and to the apostles. But let me tell you, there is a demonstration of power which belongs to every age of the Church of Jesus Christ. And what we must recapture is a burden to see God give a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Nothing can take the place of the working of the Spirit. Without that, we do not have success in the Christian ministry. We may add numbers, we may add churches. We may build the greatest denomination in America, unlikely as that may seem at this point in time. We may do all sorts of things, but without the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, it will come to nothing. I want men who are capable in the pulpit. I want men who are erudite. I want men who are educated. But first and foremost, give me men filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the key to a successful ministry.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.